This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Icebreaker mistakes that trigger social defensiveness and what to say instead. Why your opening question is silently shutting people down. In short, icebreaker mistakes do not always look like mistakes. The room does not go silent. People answer, nod, and move on. But social defensiveness sets in quietly, and it shapes everything that follows. Certain questions feel safe to the person asking and threatening to the person answering. Defensiveness triggered at the start of a meeting carries into every conversation that comes after. The fix is not a better icebreaker list. It is understanding why specific questions create social risk. Definition: icebreaker mistakes. Defensiveness occurs when an opening question or activity intended to build connection instead triggers a self-protective social response. The question creates perceived risk, judgment, or unwanted exposure, causing people to withdraw rather than engage. When the room looks fine, but something is already wrong. You asked the question. People answered. The meeting moved on. Nothing seemed wrong. That is exactly the problem. The damage from a poorly chosen icebreaker does not announce itself. There is no workout, no argument, no visible moment of failure. What happens instead is quieter. People close down, give the minimum acceptable answer, and spend the rest of the meeting slightly less willing to take a risk. You never see the connection that did not form. I have watched this play out more times than I can count, in boardrooms and team huddles and community gatherings. Someone opens with what they genuinely believe is a warm, harmless question. Half the room answers with a single sentence and a polite smile. The energy does not build. It flattens. And the person running the session wonders why the discussion never really opened up. The reason icebreaker mistakes are so easy to miss is that the defensive response looks a lot like normal participation. People are not refusing to engage. They are just not engaging fully. That gap is invisible unless you know what to look for. The root cause behind most bad icebreakers. Before naming specific mistakes, it is worth understanding why they keep happening. Most people choose icebreakers based on what feels interesting to them. They think about the question from the position of someone already comfortable in the room. That is the error. The person designing the icebreaker controls the situation. The person answering it does not. Every icebreaker places a social bet. The person asking creates the stakes, and the person answering decides whether those stakes feel safe. When the stakes feel too high, the brain does what brains do, it protects. The answer becomes guarded, minimal, or performative. Psychological safety, which is the whole point of an icebreaker, gets destroyed in the very moment it was meant to be built. This is the systemic root. It is not bad judgment or bad intentions. It is a failure to evaluate questions from the receiving end rather than the sending end. Fix that orientation, and most of the mistakes below resolve themselves. 6 icebreaker mistakes that quietly shut people down. 1. Asking questions that have a right and wrong answer. What it looks like, what is the best leadership book you've ever read, or what is the most important lesson from your career so far? Why it happens. The person asking wants a substantive conversation starter. They assume the question is open-ended. It is not. Why it matters. When a question implies a correct or impressive answer, people assess their answer before giving it. They edit. They perform. The icebreaker has become an audition. What to say instead? Ask questions with no hierarchy of answers. What did you have for breakfast? Has no right answer. What is something you're looking forward to this weekend? Has no wrong one. The effective icebreakers for team meetings that actually work share one quality: every answer is equally valid. Eamon's note. I once asked a room of managers what book had most shaped their thinking. 3 people stared at the table. They had not read a business book recently. I had accidentally sorted the room into readers and non-readers before we had done a single minute of work. 2. Requiring people to volunteer deeply personal information. What it looks like. Share one thing nobody in this room knows about you, or tell us your biggest fear. Why it happens. The facilitator wants to build intimacy quickly. The logic seems sound. Vulnerability creates closeness. Why it matters. Forced vulnerability is not vulnerability. It is exposure. People who are private, introverted, or simply new to the group feel the demand acutely. They either reveal more than they wanted or give a deflection answer, and both options leave them feeling slightly worse about the room. What to say instead? Create the conditions for voluntary self-disclosure rather than mandatory confession. Ask something light that naturally invites a personal detail without demanding one. What is something you have gotten genuinely good at in the last year? Opens the door without pushing anyone through it. Eamon's note. Trust is built over time, not in 60 seconds. An icebreaker that demands intimacy it has not yet earned does not build connection. It creates resentment. 3. Singling out individuals in front of the full group. What it looks like. Going around the room in order, so every person can see exactly when their turn arrives. Or worse, cold calling. Let's start with you, Sarah. Why it happens. It feels organized. It ensures everyone participates. Those are real goals. The method undermines them. Why it matters. When you can see your turn coming from 3 seats away, you stop listening to the people ahead of you. You rehearse. The icebreaker meant to warm up the room turns it into a waiting room. For people who experience social anxiety, the countdown is genuinely distressing. What to say instead? Let people opt in. Give the question. Give 30 seconds of quiet thinking time. And invite whoever is ready to go first. You will get more honest answers and more actual attention from the group. Nonverbal communication in tense situations can tell you a great deal about how people are holding themselves while they wait for that dreaded turn. Eamon's note. There is a particular kind of silence that happens when people are bracing rather than listening. Once you can hear it, you cannot unhear it. 4. Using humor that depends on someone else being the joke. What it looks like. Tell us your most embarrassing work moment. Or what is the most ridiculous mistake you've made on the job? Why it happens. The facilitator wants laughter and lightness. Embarrassing stories can be funny. They can also be humiliating, depending on the person, the story, and the room. Why it matters. When someone shares something genuinely embarrassing, and the room laughs harder than expected, or does not laugh at all, the damage is real. That person just paid a social cost for trying to be a good sport, and they will not forget it. What to say instead? Invite lightness without requiring self-deprecation. What is a skill you have that would surprise people here? Create warmth and humor without asking anyone to pay for it. For more on why and how humor genuinely helps, how humor can ease workplace tension gives a clear framework. Eamon's note. Laughter is one of the fastest trust builders I know, but only when it is shared. Laughter that comes at someone's expense works the opposite way. 5. Choosing icebreakers that assume equal comfort with English or cultural references. What it looks like. Asking for a favourite childhood TV show, a well-known local landmark, or a pop culture reference that not everyone will share. Why it happens. The facilitator knows the group moderately well and defaults to their own frame of reference. It is not malice. It is a blind spot. Why it matters. Anyone who does not share the cultural or linguistic reference instantly becomes an outsider in the first minute of the meeting. They learn quickly that this room is not designed with them in mind. That lesson sticks. What to say instead? Choose questions that are universal in their frame. Work, food, weather, and the immediate present moment are accessible to almost everyone. What is one word that describes how you arrived here today? Requires no shared cultural ground at all. Eamon's note. I have sat in rooms where an icebreaker quietly separated the group into insiders and outsiders before a word of real work had been spoken. The meeting never recovered from that first division. 6. Asking the same icebreaker the same group has heard before. What it looks like. Let's do 2 truths and a lie. Every hand in the room subtly deflates. Why it happens. The facilitator has a format that worked once and keeps reaching for it. Familiarity feels safe. Why it matters. A recycled icebreaker signals low investment. It tells the room that preparation was not worth the facilitator's time. People answer on autopilot, and the moment of genuine connection never arrives. The role of communication in meeting success makes clear that how a meeting opens sets the quality of everything that follows. What to say instead? Prepare a new question each time. It does not need to be clever. It needs to be real. What is something you are trying to get better at right now? It's fresh, low stakes, and genuinely interesting every time. Eamon's note. When I see people's eyes go flat as I name the activity, I have already lost them. Respect for your audience shows up in the small effort of thinking of something new. 7. The non-obvious one. Asking questions that reveal power dynamics. What it looks like. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing our team right now? Or what is one thing you think leadership could do better? Why it happens. The facilitator genuinely wants honest input. The question sounds inviting. It is actually a test. Why it matters. When a question requires someone to share a critical opinion in front of their manager or the CEO, most people will not answer honestly. They answer safely. Then they feel mildly ashamed for doing so. The icebreaker has reinforced exactly the dynamic it claimed to challenge. This connects directly to why how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy matters so much. The wrong moment for the right question does as much damage as the wrong question entirely. What to say instead? Save honest input gathering for a structured conversation with clear psychological safety already established. An icebreaker is the start of trust building, not the harvest of it. Eamon's note. I have covered this dynamic in depth in Say It Right Every Time, specifically around how the core framework helps you sequence the right kind of openness at the right moment in a conversation. Asking for vulnerable honesty before trust exists is not courage. It is carelessness. Is your icebreaker creating safety or undermining it? Work through this checklist before you use any icebreaker. Answer honestly. Could the question embarrass someone with a specific background, experience level, or cultural reference? Does the question have an answer that sounds more impressive than other answers? Are people required to answer in a fixed order they can see coming? Does the question require personal disclosure to answer well? Has this group heard this icebreaker before? Does answering honestly require someone to say something critical in front of their manager? Is there anyone in the room for whom this question is not equally accessible? Scoring. If you answered yes to zero questions, your icebreaker is likely safe. If you answered yes to one or two, revise the question before you use it. If you answered yes to three or more, start over. The question is creating social risk, not reducing it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The fastest repair is the simplest one. Before your next meeting, test your icebreaker question on yourself. Imagine you're the newest, quietest, most private person in the room. Ask yourself, would I answer this honestly in front of these people on day one? If the answer is no, change the question. For deeper work on building the kind of trust that makes honest conversation possible across a whole team, common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team synergy is worth your time. And if you're preparing for a conversation where the stakes are genuinely high, word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague gives you language you can use immediately. The Say It Right Every Time resource also walks through exactly how to prepare the right opening for high-stakes conversations, using the same principle that applies to icebreakers. Clarity before you speak is always worth more than confidence in the moment. The goal of any icebreaker is simple. Lower the social cost of speaking first. When you understand which icebreaker mistakes defensiveness creates, you stop reaching for questions that feel interesting and start reaching for questions that feel safe. That shift, small as it sounds, changes everything that follows. Frequently asked questions. What are the most common icebreaker mistakes that cause defensiveness? The most common icebreaker mistakes that trigger defensiveness include asking overly personal questions, putting individuals on the spot in front of a group, and using questions with no clear safe answer. Each creates social risk rather than reducing it, which is the opposite of what a good icebreaker should do. Why do icebreaker mistakes trigger social defensiveness? Icebreaker mistakes trigger defensiveness because they create unexpected social risk in a moment when people feel exposed. When someone cannot predict whether their answer will be judged, ridiculed, or used against them, the brain defaults to self-protection. The icebreaker intended to open people up instead closes them down. How do you know if your icebreaker is triggering defensiveness? Watch for short, flat answers, visible discomfort before someone speaks, nervous laughter, or participants who suddenly study their phones. If most people give one-word responses and no one builds on what others say, your icebreaker has created distance rather than connection. Silence after the question is a clear early signal. What should you say instead of a defensive icebreaker question? Replace personal or evaluative questions with low-stakes, observable ones. Instead of asking someone to share their biggest fear, ask what they are working on this week. Instead of asking for a fun fact, ask what they had for lunch. Ordinary questions feel safer and still create genuine connection. Can a well-intentioned icebreaker still cause defensiveness? Absolutely. Good intentions do not make a question safe. A question that feels playful to the person asking can feel invasive or embarrassing to someone in the group. The safest icebreakers are low stakes, easy to answer, and genuinely optional in tone, regardless of how they are framed. How do icebreaker mistakes affect the rest of a meeting? When an icebreaker triggers defensiveness, that feeling does not stay isolated. People carry the discomfort into the discussion that follows. They contribute less, self-censor more, and trust the facilitator less. A poor icebreaker at the start can quietly damage the quality of every conversation that comes after it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.